Shane, it's great to meet you. I think we've already started delving deep into our personalities and our life philosophies before we came on the air. I think we've already gotten a sense of who we are.
We're ahead of the game, boys. Yeah, that didn't take very long. That's a sign of a good team. You can come together quickly like that.
I would like to think we are.
I like the setup you guys got in here. This is pretty legit.
You like this place?
This is pretty legit, boys. Yeah, I like it.
I'll reserve my opinion.
Yeah, you're not going to say it? All right.
Well, it's all right.
You know what we were talking about earlier, Shane, before you came in? So you're from Port Hope.
Uh-huh.
So I'm an Ontario guy. I was born in Winnipeg, but grew up in Oakville, which is on the other side.
I like how you always try to slot that in terms of like it gives you Western cred.
It's just a fact.
It does give you a little more street cred in Canada, doesn't it?
No, I know.
It does give you
a little... Western boy. Listen, everybody knows that.
I'm from Whitehorse, Yukon, born and raised.
Okay.
So when C tries to sneak in, like he's the Western Northern guy.
I mean, Even the guys I played with that are from Manitoba, they always say, "Well, I'm from the West. I'm a Western League guy. I'm a Western guy. So I just think that's kind of part of the thing. But you might be onto something, bro.
I'm the real.
I was born there. Yes, I moved away when I was three. But yes, I'm an Ontario guy. I know nothing about this province. I was doing some reading on you. I was like, oh, Port Hope. That sounds like a place. I've never been there, but you were just there today, right?
Yeah, you've never been there, and you know that's probably okay that you've never been there.
There's not much to see.
No, it's you know what? I was very lucky. It's a nice little town. I grew up, you know, obviously with a great family like most Canadian kids, but very small town. There's a town right beside it, Cobourg, Ontario, too. So I went to high school there, but. Yeah, it's a nice little town. It's not going to blow you away, but in the summertime, if, I don't know, you're into seeing a nice river through the town or getting a small feel for a city, but actually a lot of people from the city are coming down now, older people, and buying nice houses there, and it's extremely quiet, so...
There you go, Ben.
It's home, man. It's home. It is what it is. I don't spend a whole lot of time there, but every time I come back, it's nice to see where I grew up for sure, man.
Yeah, you live in California now. Yeah. Have you looked at the Port Hope Wikipedia page?
Dude, it's been a while. What's going
so
on?
So you looked at it. Every week.
Well,
every morning when I wake up at the Starbucks in
Newport. Well, actually,
listen, because there was a week or two that I was refreshing the Oakville Wikipedia page to see if I was under notable people, because I'm not, still not, because I'm not notable, right?
That's true.
You didn't know me until you stepped into the studio here. That's fine.
No, but I think you're on the right track. I think you're on the right track, bro.
You're in notable people.
Okay. So that's nice. And I mean, my only request ever there was I wanted my picture up in the rink, because growing up, you know, I had five or six guys make the NHL, and I remember seeing their picture. So other than that, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew my picture in the rink, and now I got some online credit, so I'll take it.
Yeah, also the home of Paul Quantrill.
Yeah, Paul Quantrill, great little right-handed pitcher, and his son's actually playing pro ball too. And I guess
he was a first-round pick, I think.
Yeah, I think he's already made more money than me, and he's only played like half a year of baseball or something.
100%.
Yeah, right? I was like, wait a second, I played 10 years, and he's already made how much? I'm like, dude, I don't get this.
He is rich. He is rolling in it.
Yeah, so good
for him. So we were talking before you got here about Halloween costumes. Because Ben is going to go as, he's just like, again, Ben is married. He just lays the ball in the basket. Like, he doesn't try to take any jump shots. He just wants to simplify the offense.
Right.
Just lay it up. Be the same thing you were last year.
Yeah, but my kid was sick, so we didn't go out. Yeah. We didn't go out trick or treating last year.
No one cares. There's a picture of you online in the costume.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it's done.
Whatever.
That's all it is. And I also like that you try to throw your kid under the bus as to why you're being lazy with your Halloween costume.
He was sick. We didn't go trick or treating last year. Okay. We took some photos, and he was, you know.
You know what? That sucks for him that you're going to give him the same Halloween costume. He's not quite old enough to understand like how lazy his parents are.
Someday he will know, though.
I know. But as of right now, all he thinks is like, oh, it's hot dog costume time.
Yeah,
that's what the costume is. It's a hot dog.
He's like, oh, every year you get into the hot dog costume for a little while and that's it. So fine. That's fine. Yeah. For other people, single people like you and I, it's a little bit, it's more of an event day. It's a tougher day to figure out. Because there's a lot online. Like Halloween is a big time holiday. It's basically single person Christmas. So what do you, Dick, what do you got?
I'm stressing, bro. And to be honest with you,
you leave it to us.
I'm leaving. I've been doing some stuff. I've ordered some stuff. I'm going to New York City for it. So I was talking to my boys. I've never been in New York City for Halloween. You know, I'm like, how many parties or how many costumes do I need to bring?
How many?
You know, like Halloween's on Tuesday. There's a party Saturday. We're going to go out Sunday. I'm like, so I'm looking at three or four costumes here is what you're telling me?
Come on. You can wear the same costume.
That's what I said. I'm like, he's like, well, most people do. I go, I'm bringing in two.
Oh, okay.
I'm going one go-to and one backup, and that's all
what
I'm
are
going.
They going? So, what are you doing?
I think my go-to right now is I think I'm going like Harley Davidson kind of biker dude with a bandana and a leather jacket and some shades and a fake cigarette.
That's definitely a single guy costume. Yeah, because
my mission on Halloween is still to go out there and be successful.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want costume of the night. I want maybe girl of the night or something.
Okay,
you know?
That's fair. That's
what
good.
I'm looking for. I'm looking for something to, you know, I wear a lot of black, so it suits me that I can wear a black leather jacket with some chains and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Actually, a girl I know gave me the idea, so I got to give her credit. So,
yeah, she's like, you know what? You would look super hot as a biker.
She told me maybe go as Slash or something, so maybe I'll go as that. I'm not sure.
Slash is a little bit more effort to pull off.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to buy a top hat.
Now I got to get a wig. Yeah. And then
maybe carry around a guitar.
I know.
That's tough.
But I thought about it. So I think I'm just going to go straight up Harley Davidson, Sons of Anarchy.
So the reason that this came up was that Mitch Marner and Matt Martin were going to go as Dr. Evil and Mini-Me, which is pretty good. Not terrible. Everyone already makes a lot of, like, that's his dad jokes anyways when it comes to those two. But they got vetoed by the girlfriends. And I was like, that's surprising to me that they would step in unless they wanted to do couples costumes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, that's out of my domain there. I'm not sure why the girlfriends would step in, but it has something to do, obviously, with the girlfriend wants to do something with
Maddie
Martin.
Yeah, or it's just a weird thing, right? Like, where are you on tandem costumes? I've done it before. I've been with CFL, like, we had yardsticks and wore like a
that's little, good.
Yeah, that is good. Me and a buddy, we had the 1st and 10 yard marker.
That's great.
Yeah, we've gone as a 1980s basketball team with 4 other guys.
That's pretty good.
My two buddies had the best one. I'm not a big tandem thing, but my buddies who's like 6 foot,
he's
almost a
7 footer.
He went as Karl Malone, full everything, full jazz uniform, and my buddy who's like 5'7" went as Stockton.
Yeah,
so Stockton Malone
good.
By far the best one I've ever seen. But my boy from New England's like, you want to do something together here? And I'm like, you know what, dude, I love you, but
I'm trying to be successful.
I'm, dude, I got a missionary.
Yeah, see,
it's New York City here, buddy. I mean,
I'm
trying. I'm trying to do something here.
I see. Yeah, my now wife was my girlfriend at the time, so yeah, I could be chained to another man for the entire night, which we literally were chained to each other, which is a little intense.
That is a little intense. So with this Leafs team, I mean, they're kind of. We talk about this, like, your center ice team, your Rogers Game Center Live team, in terms of who do you like to watch on a nightly basis. I think that there's still a lot of, when it comes to fans anyways, that there's a lot of Leaf haters out there. But generally, if you look at just product of what's entertaining, the Leafs have to be up there right now, right? Like, I'm imagining that on a nightly basis or, like, a semi-nightly basis, if you're picking a game, you're probably choosing the Leafs over, say, last night, the Canucks and Wild.
100%, actually. Yeah. I watched that Canucks Wild game yesterday. Yeah,
nice 1-0 game.
Ooh, that was a barn burner.
You have to go on 650 and talk about it.
I know,
right?
My boy Travis Green's excited about the win, but I think everyone else that probably watched the game was probably like, woo.
Yeah.
but yeah, the Leafs are exciting. I mean, I don't watch, I watch them as much as I can. I grew up a huge Leafs fan.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going to the Garden with my dad. And I'm happy for them. I'm happy for a lot of my buddies are Leafs fans. I'm happy for the diehard Leaf fans. Like you said, there's always going to be haters out there. But they're exciting, man. I mean, Matthews is flat out nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, nasty. That OT winner he scored in Montreal was one of the dirtiest goals I've ever seen.
So from guys you know, though, and because you are an Ontario guy, and I'm sure that it's come up with other people in terms of, how much other players or former players have actually been paying attention to this team. And I wonder if some guys in a league look at it and say, maybe they still get too much attention compared to what we're doing, or whether or not it's more of what you just said where Matthews is nasty and they understand all the coverage.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, they probably get a lot of coverage, but they also get, every time a team comes in to play the Leafs, man, they're ready to roll. Like, you know, there's chances are 4 or 5 guys on the team are from Ontario, maybe more. They got people coming in. There's tons of media attention. You know, the ACC is a sick barn. You're ready to go. So on each night, they're not going to get a team to come into Toronto and probably not have their A game or be ready to go. So in saying that, they probably deserve a little more attention because it is the hub of hockey. And, you know, they took it on a chin for a few years. So I think they deserve all the credit they're getting right now. And they're playing hard. So
you know what? That actually gives me something I was talking to Ben about earlier, which it doesn't really piss me off, but it's annoying and it's just a lazy, dumb take, I think, which is I've been hearing a little bit lately, like, oh, well, the Leafs aren't anything if they don't luck out and got Austin Matthews, if they don't get that first overall pick and they don't win a lottery. You know, it's like, look at every single team. Like, if you look at the Blackhawks, they didn't have Patty Kane, do they end up winning? No. If the Penguins don't have Sidney Crosby or Geno, do you end up winning?
Yeah.
So, yeah, bad teams that luck out in the lottery, it can be a huge swing for you. But they've also done things that make them great other than just Austin Matthews.
Totally, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, yeah, they got lucky. He turned out to be exactly what they want.
But you know who else got lucky? The Edmonton Oilers.
Exactly. So did every other team. And personally, they've made great moves. But the move I think that helped them and put them ahead of everything, and I know he takes some heat sometimes in this city, and I know him on a personal level, is Freddie Anderson. Mm-hmm. You know, you go out and get a goalie like that who's a legitimate number one, and these young kids know now if they make a mistake here or they try to make a play here, you know, you got Freddie back there to back you up, and you know he's going to be solid night in and night out. And I think as soon as they made that move, I told my boys back home and my parents, I'm like, that move moving forward is going to help them. Obviously, the young kids being better than they thought they were going to be this quickly help, but I think Freddie Anderson between the pipes on a nightly basis gives these young kids and young D-men to be like, yo, if the puck bounces over my stick, or I jump into play, Freddie's there.
Yeah, and he was off to such a brutal start, first five games last year. And even this year, the save percentage was low, but maybe his best game of the season against the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, and I played with Bobby Lou back in the day in Vancouver, and Louis was a notorious slow starter. I mean, he'd get off to a slow start. He's a bigger goalie. Freddie's a big guy. It takes those guys a little bit longer to get going here, but that's Toronto, and Toronto fans, if he gets off to five bad games, he's going to hear about it. Well, but he's mentally strong, and he's a good dude, and he's very humble, and I know he loves playing here, so I'm happy for him.
I think that's a big part of it, right, is having a goaltender who can handle the pressure of being in
the market. And he's like I said, he's even-keeled. He's a really chill dude, and I know he's enjoying playing
for the Because word was, and if you do know him, word was that originally when he was struggling when he came here that it was really bothering him.
It may have. And I was training with him that year. I had signed with the Ducks, and we were training together right when he got traded. And, you know, I just told him, dude, try not to turn on the TV after a bad game or listen to the radio after the game. But it comes with territories, and you're the starting goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm like, you're living the dream, but there's going to come some time if you have a bad night and you let a couple stinkers in, they're gonna rip you a bit. But that's, I mean, he can handle it.
So you're one of the rare guys that has experienced both sides of that in the NHL, playing in a market where nobody knew who the hell you were, right? Like you were an afterthought and then after an afterthought, right? In Anaheim, I'm sure, same deal, probably in Tampa. Although St.
Pete
is...
Zenon was mad when we...
Oh, right, yeah. St. Pete's a real hockey town, apparently. Yeah,
Knopka thinks he's famous everywhere.
No, but he thought he thought that it was a big deal than the Lightning. He said they're not Florida.
Whatever.
The fans there are great. They rally around. But you can go out for a bite to eat there.
Yeah, you're not
going to
be swarmed.
You can maybe duck out with, you know, everyone in the city knowing where you were and how many pieces of sushi you had or whatever.
But yeah, you played in Vancouver too, and you played in Calgary. Yeah. And, of course, we just had Drew Doughty here. And, of course, his free agency at the end of next season, he's got to answer those questions every time he comes in here. The one time this season, he'll have to answer it again next year.
I feel like
year.
He's stirring it up a little bit too, though, right?
A little bit, right?
I think Dewey's kind of, I think he's been stuck out in LA a little bit. He wants some.
He's your neighbor, so I don't know if you have any, but before I move on, do you have any inside info on Drew Doughty?
I haven't seen Dewey in a long time. He's a great guy. I used to hang out with him a little bit back in the day through Brad Richardson and Jared Stoll. But I know he's building the house in Manhattan Beach, so, I mean, he can't be that unhappy, and playing for the Kings is.
The
one thing he did say, he could always sell the house, or rent it out there too. Mm-hmm. But I know he wants to win. But I mean, when you play in one place for such a long time, you know, I never knew that. I was only in a place for 2 years at the most, and then they're like, all right, O'Brien, see you later. But I mean, if you're like him, maybe you're like, well, you know, what would it be like to play
right,
in Toronto,
like,
or
what
know,
is the
well, who knows? Like, you know, you don't know what Dewey's thinking. You know, he's a great team guy. I know he loves the guys he plays with there, but he's earned the position to be like, hey, all right, let's talk about me. Let's see what people are saying. Let's get some
and especially a guy who's won everything, right? Exactly. Like, he's won his cup, he's won his two gold medals. Like, there's nothing left for him to prove. Like, if the Leafs, obviously look like a contender. I just wonder about that thing, right? We keep hearing Ontario guys, Canadian guys, they don't want to play in Toronto. That's overblown. It's like the fans think that everybody who's from Ontario doesn't want to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And maybe that was just because they stunk and now they're good.
It seems to be working out pretty well for Mitch Marner and Connor Brown.
I think if you would have asked the boys 2 or 3 years ago, but now, you know, the project on the ice speaks for itself. And if you win in this city, come on, tell me no one wants to play here if you're winning hockey.
Of course
games.
Not.
Come on, man.
Yes,
that's
of course.
What's up. That's what's up.
Yes, especially considering you have to be able to look at a place. I thought that the Cubs win might have been a little bit of an eye-opener for some people just in terms of how much you can be embraced as someone who's from a tortured fan base. Like, every single guy that's on that World Series team, they all from now to the end of time, like that's the Cubs team.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if had the Cubs won this year, it's like, okay, cool. That's a great win. We're very happy. We celebrated the city, but to be the first and to come back and to get it done. Well, like there's just something that's about like that. That's just, you can't replicate it. You can never have that again. Your fan base completely alters. Your identity changes. Like look at the Red Sox. They were lovable losers for a long time. You win once. They have a couple of other World Series teams. Who really remembers those World Series teams compared to the first, right?
Totally.
Same with the Blue Jays, right? Like even, you know, Joe Carter, he was, okay, I'll lay my cards on the table. Joe Carter was a little bit overrated as a player. He was not that great, honestly.
Okay, that's a little harsh.
I mean, that hurts a bit, but yeah, you might be right.
It's true.
No, that's just kind of like a baseball nerd fan.
No, it's true. He's a little bit overrated as a player, but the guy, same thing. He's never going to have to buy a drink in the city. No. He can go anywhere in the city and be beloved because he has that moment in Toronto. Now he has two.
Ads
he has
two he's 100. Moments.
Yeah. That's a nice touch. I'm sure he's enjoying that.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody likes to collect the checks from doing a commercial one time, one day at a photo shoot.
Is that still going on?
Yes.
Actually funny. I was in Vancouver during the summer, and I'm sitting there having a bite to eat and a couple of beers, and I look over, and I'm like, man, I know who this dude is, right? So anyways, I look over, and I'm like, excuse me, man. Sorry to bother. I go, are you Fred McGriff? And sure enough, it was the crime doc sitting there. I'm like, dude, I hate to bug you. I'm from Toronto. I grew up. I'm like, what are you doing up here? He's like, I came up here to sign some autographs. I'm like, they're still paying you to sign autographs, huh? He's like,
that's amazing. Like, he wasn't even here for
I'm like, good for you, bro.
Yeah, as Jalen Rose says, keep getting them checks.
Yeah, man.
You just got to get them.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. But I do wonder, though, the only thing when it comes to free agent signings with Toronto, I don't think it's so much now the question is about the market. Because, like we said, it's more about winning, and do you have a chance to be a part of something that's this big? But I do wonder sometimes, based on the way that veterans have been moved out and the way that they will bury contracts and the length of even just looking at something like Dom Moore, right?
Yeah.
Dom signs here and ends up basically having to compete for his job, which I'm guessing when he signed that contract, he had to be thinking, this is pretty much, I'm surefire to have this. And he ends up having to skate, or he ends up competing with Eric Fair for that job. He gets it and it all works out and everything's fine, but there's still always like a ton of pressure on him. And he knows that if there's a little bit of a slump, he's gone. And I wonder how veteran guys perceive, and I'm not saying Doughty would be this guy, but other people that look at Toronto and say, how do they trust Mike Babcock and how do they trust Lou Lamoriello? Because you've heard things from guys like Mike Commodore, who seem to have more of an axe to grind.
Commie doesn't mind ripping people, does
But Commie has gone like hard on Mike Babcock, and he's made claims that a lot of veterans don't like playing for this guy, or that they would reconsider signing here because of Mike Babcock.
I mean, I get what he's saying there. I mean, I could sit here, and if we had Brian McGrattan on here, we could sit here and rip Bob Hartley from, you know, times in Calgary. But, you know, let's be honest, Babs is a good coach. I mean, he is what it is. I mean, I think he has a young team right now with certain veteran mix. I think that's why I'm sure there's veterans that played in Detroit that hate Babs, 100%. I mean, you know, he is what it is. But I think right now with this group of players he's got them going and he's got them buying in. But there's always a risk if you bring in a high-priced guy or a high-talented guy, a veteran guy that may have, you know, want to do things his way and may not agree with Babs. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're winning hockey games, you're going to be able to get through it with a veteran to a coach. I mean, I just think that's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
A little BS kind of, but.
Yeah.
I know Commodore's not a big fan. I just started following him on Twitter, actually. He rips everyone.
Oh, yeah. If we were going to make a list of the people he's ripped on his Twitter account.
He just rips everything. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's one way to do it.
Yeah. That's the way
he's hanging out in Scottsdale, though. It's not like he's just ripping people from the desert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a keyboard warrior. It's nice.
Yeah.
And also, he does the thing where he goes on Calgary radio and they love it because they're like, he's like, I hate Babcock and I hate Toronto. And they're like,
Yeah.
That's what we do here. Yeah. We rip on Toronto. It's super fun.
Talking to Shane O'Brien in studio, former NHLer. So you played in Finland for a couple of games at the end of last year, right? Their playoff run?
I went over halfway through the year. I left just in January. You know, I was just hanging out with Cali. I was skating for a long time, and then nothing really came about it. And I was actually in Aspen for a little ski trip. And my agent, I woke up. I was in LA, and I woke up to a text from my agent. I'm like, first thing I thought, I was like, oh, man, don't tell me I owe this guy money again. I forgot to pay him. I'm like, man, I just got back from Aspen. It was a little pricey, bro. Yeah. And he's like, you want to go play in Finland? I'm like,
probably because you owed him money, and he's like, go to Finland, get some money.
Give me my 10%.
I'm like, Aspen was a little expensive. I'm like, yeah, I'll go play for a little bit, 3 months. Nah, Finnish people are good people, good dudes. I didn't have an import on the team with me. I had a Swedish guy who was a good dude. We didn't have a whole lot in common, so that was kind of tough.
But you never thought about staying over there, or was that a consideration for you?
Not in Finland. I mean, it was. I enjoyed the Finnish people. I played with a lot. Like, every Finnish guy I ever played with are good dudes. Like, you know, starting with Solani, Pekka Rene.
Doesn't feel like they have big personalities necessarily from Finland.
Yeah, and I mean, they exactly.
They drink a little bit.
They do. Not as much as you would think, but really? when they have a chance to drink, they drink. Maybe this is just guys on the team. I mean, our two trainers over there, yeah, they drank every day. And they were good guys. Couldn't speak a lick of English, but I could just, you know, when you can just communicate with someone, you don't even need words. You just like,
Yeah.
You know, so.
Ben, what are you basing the Finnish guys don't drink thing off of?
I didn't say they don't.
No, you said they do.
I said the players don't drink over there now. And I said when they get their chance to drink, they drink. But I used to hear some stories about a certain goaltender back in the day who was Finnish that. Yeah, so I was just kind of, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but it was a cool experience. I mean, I went to Helsinki whenever I could. Very clean city. It was super cool. But for me, it would have been nice if I had one more Canadian beauty, as you would say, would have made it probably a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't have one guy to chat it up with.
You know, go have dinner with and stuff. But it was a cool experience. The hockey's really, really good hockey, fast.
Yeah.
Ice is a little bit bigger. Didn't really suit my game.
You were basically like Sean Avery in that 30 for 30, just eating by himself in the dining hall.
Yeah, but the guys liked me. No one likes Avery, you know?
Yeah, I know, pretty much. Oh, and I don't think that got any better with his book.
I know. I mean, I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to have to. It's just, I mean, I haven't seen Avery in a long time, but.
Yeah.
Smart guy. He makes money somehow.
So I just thought that 30 for 30 was really telling, where it was like all the Rangers all eating together, and then it's just like Avery off to the side.
Yeah, but that was probably Aves' decision. He probably didn't. I mean, the guys probably weren't too heartbroken about it either, but Aves was, you know, Mr. New York, so he was probably doing his thing.
Yeah,
but I got to be honest, I like Sean Avery as a dude. He'll even tell you he's probably not the greatest guy in the world. You wouldn't probably trust him, but I've always had a good time playing out with him.
You probably wouldn't.
Probably
trust
wouldn't
him.
Trust Avery.
I would say after the book, that's pretty safe assumption.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fine. You like Avery? You want to put anybody on blast? Like, if you're gonna do this for a living, you got to stir some stuff up.
You want me?
No.
I don't know. Not yet. Maybe.
We'll save that one.
We'll ease into it, boys.
All right. Thanks for this, Shane.
Yeah. Good having
good
you.
Boys, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
Doug McLean joins us right now of Hockey Central. Hi, Doug. Thanks for doing this. Yes. Do you have plans for Halloween?
Since Hockey Central at Noon did the Kiss costumes a few years ago, that I retired. I retired my Halloween costumes. My daughter's still appalled when she saw those pictures online.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, me too. Those were electric. Yeah. I actually got to see if we can pull those bad boys up on the old Google machine.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Yeah, they were. So just retired, just gave up.
We actually went down to the cafeteria at Rogers and people actually thought it was the real group. That's how bad it was.
That's how great it was. That sounds amazing.
No, that does sound pretty good that you're pulling it off to that point. Yeah, all right.
Of course I was Gene, so you know.
You should expect? You know what I would go as if I was you? It'd be kind of heavy. I would carry around like a television light and then just like you all bloodied up and like the what if the light had hit me?
Yeah, what if the ceiling had actually fallen on your head?
Exactly. Right.
So little pieces, take little pieces of ceiling.
If it had fallen on my head, I'd be retired comfortably now in South Florida.
Right. So you could just glue some pieces of ceiling to your chest.
Exactly.
And then hold the light and then throw a little blood or like get some makeup artist to make a wound on the head. There you go.
That's the nicest call I ever had from Scott Moore in my life. How are you feeling? Is everything good? Everything great?
We still make light of that, but it is just like must have been like a horrifying moment. And even when you were going home that day, you must have just have thought about your own mortality at that point. For like a second.
I never really thought about the ceiling falling, but when I had the electric cords tied around my neck.
See, it's not funny. It's not funny.
It's funny because he alluded it.
Oh, it's a ball. Yeah, it is.
Doug, I've been meaning to ask you this question for a while since Vegas got off to the start. Like your feelings about it, because you're on that gold standard third year expansion team, Florida Panthers, taking them to the Stanley Cup final. What are your feelings about the Vegas Golden Knights 7-1-0 start?
Well, you know, there's good vibes because, of course, Gerard Gallant worked for me for 10 years in Columbus and, you know, I taught him in high school and I coached him in Detroit and I hired him in Columbus. And so we go way back. I think I met him when he was 10 or 11 years of age. So it's kind of I had breakfast with him the day before he left and at the end of the summer, you know, for training camp. And he was nervous. He didn't know if they'd be able to score. He was a little bit concerned about that, as always is the case with expansion teams, but you know, they got off to a, you know, Fleury wins them the first game in Dallas. They go into Colorado or Phoenix and play really well in back-to-back games against Phoenix, and all of a sudden they're a confident group and they found a way. Expansion is different, you know. We were sort of chuckling. We had 71 points our first year in Columbus, and I think Minnesota had 70 or something. And it was, we thought it was a pretty successful first year to have 70 points. In those days, 80, a little over 80 would get you close to a playoff spot. So we thought, you know, this is okay. And he was sort of thinking, hey, you know, we get 70 points, we might be pretty excited with the way the NHL is today. But you know what? The difference is, and we've talked about it quite a bit the last few days, the difference between the really good teams in 2000 and the really bad teams in 2000 was a real wide, wide differential. Today, the best teams to the worst teams, I mean, seriously, guys, how do you pick them every night?
You can't.
It's that close. So expansion teams, you know, they paid $500 million for the team. We paid $80 million in Columbus for our franchise. They deserve to have better picks. They deserve to have a better choice. And they did get that, and they feel they've got a pretty decent team right now. So I'm happy for Girard. You know, other than that, I don't really care, but I'm really happy for him. He's a good friend, and I'm glad to see, you know, they're the talk of the NHL right now. And I'll tell you what, and I've just talked about our guys for Wednesday Night Hockey tonight, they've put a ton of heat on GMs and coaches in the league because owners are sitting there saying, boys, are you kidding me? I own the New York Rangers. I own the Montreal Canadiens. I own this team and that team. And Vegas didn't have a player till the end of June, and they're better than us? What is going on here? So they've caused some grief amongst GMs in the league, to say the least, and coaches.
Well, I would think that Florida would be the number one, too, because maybe it's more on coaches saying, hey, we had Gallant, and he was able to put together this group of guys that were basically misfits and cast-offs, and they've started off at 7-1. They got four straight wins. They're down to their third goaltender, who I'd never heard of before, Oscar Dansk. Is that even how you say it?
No, it's Columbus draft pick.
Okay, he's amazing. Sorry, I forgot how good he is. But I just can't help but think, yes, that first of all, Florida looks the worst, and they're even doing it with a couple of their players. But do you think that there's potential? Because I guess this is a two-parter. Do you think that it's sustainable? And if it is somewhat sustainable, how does this change the outlook of what McPhee does going forward? Because the plan all along has been they're going to strip it down, they're going to sell everybody. But if you're in a playoff race, and like you said it, you're picking between teams every night, like good luck going 500. It's near impossible to do. How does that potentially change what they're doing come deadline time? I know that's far away.
Well, Girard said today, you know, you're listening on TV in Vegas, all of a sudden he hears words like Stanley Cup. And, okay. You know, I mean, really, it's you know, they don't really have a clue. I think the plan will stay in place. They won't strip it down like a guy like, you know, the young guys on the fence that they've got, the Theodore, the Schmidt, the you know, some the Marcia. So some of the younger guys they have, they will keep and sort of use. Carlson's a good young player that they picked up from Columbus. Lindbergh's a good young player. You know, they've got a number of players. I see the plan being that a Neal would be traded. And some of those guys that are the older and not that old, but still where you're going to get value. So that would surprise me if they still don't make some of those moves because they could bring a substantial, you know, substantial asset back in return. So I don't see the plan changing. I think they'll stay with it. And look, they've had seven in a row. Their next game at home against Colorado will be seven in a row at home. Okay.
Yeah.
The other question is, I had a buddy of mine that was a GM of the Las Vegas Thunder in the IHL. You remember the old IHL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Toronto Roadrunners.
He went 34-2-4 his last year at home in the IHL. Now, why do you go 34-2-3 at home in the Vegas in the IHL?
I have an idea.
I know why I would, but I have a hard time believing that NHLers can't get into more trouble in other places.
Because teams go into town the night before you play. So I don't know. I was sort of chuckling when we were talking about those stats, that how easy it was to win at home when you're in the IHL because the boys would go berserk in Vegas. Today, NHLers, you know, it's a little different. I don't see that being the case.
It's funny, though, because
But I do remember walking by a hotel room, and I told the guys they had a curfew. They weren't allowed out the night before. We're in a pretty good city, and I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I'm just going to walk the halls here and check things out. And I walked by one of my best defensemen's rooms, and I noticed he was by himself because he had over 400 games in the league, so they get a single room, and there was 18 Bud Light on a tray outside his door. So you don't have to go out to get in trouble.
Also, that seems pretty stupid, just outside the door. Like, you probably could have figured
out. I said,
well,
could there have been a card game going on in there last night, or was it just him? I suspect it was just him.
Yeah, just him. I do laugh, though. I feel like James Neal, just based on watching those first couple of games, and there was so much attention around them, and he did have so much success early, he's just like a Golden Knight for life now to me. Like, I look at him, I'm like, I can't picture him in another uniform, even though he's been in a bunch of other ones. And a friend of mine summed him up perfectly, because he's like, he's so perfect for Vegas because he's got a little bit of flash, but there's also a little bit of a seedy underbelly. You like that for James Neal?
Yeah, don't expect to see him there. But anyway, we'll see.
Hey, so Kipper,
we'll see. I'm not making trades yet, but I mean, I would be surprised.
So Kipper reported that teams are inquiring, at least, or starting to sniff around maybe Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And of course, he said Elliot Rhode, he's not available. And if you're Arizona, you have to make the stance that he is not available. But they're off to a terrible start. And I do wonder if it starts to get worse for them if maybe they start taking calls. And if that's the case, and you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, do you throw the kitchen sink to get him?
Yeah, you make a pretty substantial offer. He's a guy that last year struggled. There was some illness in his family, and he struggled. And you expect this year he was going to bounce back with a big year. The team right now is atrocious. I get criticized in Columbus. When are they going to take some heat in Arizona? Seriously, what is going on here? I mean, I read all summer how great Stepan comes in as a number one centerman. I'm thinking, I think he's a number two. What a great move picking up this guy and picking up that guy. And I'm thinking, I thought they were average moves. And all of a sudden, Ranta is your number one goaltender. Seriously. And people raving about these moves, and all of a sudden they can't win a game to save their life. Something's got to give here. Something's got to give. Is it Ekman-Larsson? Chyka says he's not available. Chyka better win that deal hands down for his sake. It's much like the Duchesne deal and Joe Sakic. Those are deals. If you're going to make them, you better win by a landslide, and they're not easy to win right now. And trades are so tough to make right now. I mean, I just read an article Larry Brooks wrote last weekend there about when was the last substantial trade in the National Hockey. Like, seriously, boys, it's been a while. Weber for Subban, and we're searching.
That one day.
Yeah, there were three of them. Well, and then one of them was the signing. Yeah, Steven Stamkos signs the same day. But they do happen. But you're right. Yeah, it's way more difficult to make, especially in this era of the National Hockey League. But how? Okay, so we know this Leafs team is good. We knew it would be good. I don't know if we knew it would be this good. They've played a couple of structured teams in a row, a little better defensive teams in Ottawa and L.A., and they bounced back nicely against the Kings. But still, right, there's defensive issues. We knew that would be their issue. We know it's kind of like year two of them being in this mold of trying to win a Stanley Cup. Really, year one, like how much of a concerted effort do you make to add that, like, one really significant defenseman really changes the outlook of this Maple Leafs team? Is this the year to do that?
Well, you just mentioned, what's the price to get Ekman-Larsson? And then all of a sudden they're a contender. You look today and you say, okay, where do they fit? Are they 3, 4, 5, 6 in the East? Where are they? I mean, you've got Tampa Bay, you've got Pittsburgh, you've got Columbus that are playing pretty well. You've got a number. You got Washington that are going to be tough before it's over. You got Ottawa that looks like they've got a real character group there that could be good. I mean, where are they, 4, 5 right today, if you were really looking at it and saying, realistically, this is where they fit? Polak, to me, is a depth guy. I had Ron Hainsey for 5 years in Columbus. I like him. He's a good pickup for them. I see him as a 5-6 guy, a 5 guy playing with a 6 guy. That's where I see him. I think they need a 3-4 guy. That's what I think they need. And it'll be real interesting, somebody to go with Saitsev, somebody to play with Morgan Riley, and all of a sudden, you got one guy that moves into your top four that's a high-end guy, but that price is high, and they're not out there available. And you've got a couple of nuggets in Bozak and JVR that would be Connor Brown, if they decide to go that way, that they could make a move. But I don't know if they will. They're going to be. They don't have to do anything. I mean, they've got it made here right now. They're on this golden run. So don't panic. Just take your time and stay with the plan. And that was probably for another year to be where they are. Like as Lou says, and you know, Lou's Lou. Hey boys, it's 7-8 games. Come on, let's not get carried away. Let's see where we are at 40 games or 50 games.
Yeah, that's why, again, I don't really look too much at what they're going to trade for. I just try to think of how they're going to, if this is going to be sustainable.
But they got to make a big decision on Bozak and JVR.
It feels like they're gone, though, right? Like at the end of the year, they just walk in free agency. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, I don't think they shouldn't do that. They should try to make a deal for them to improve. If that's going to be the case, they should deal them at the deadline and get a player back that can help them in the playoffs and somebody they can re-sign or that's signed. There's no way they should let both those guys, because that's where a decline start. It's an asset-driven business, guys, and you cannot let assets walk for nothing, although the cap has changed that a degree because cap space is an asset too. We have to remember that. But I just don't see that happening where they walk for nothing. Maybe one of them, but not two.
Yeah. Thanks for this, Doug, and we'll look forward to your lack of Halloween costume next week.
Maybe you'll figure something out.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's a treat.